Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jasa Sagonige, a 7th grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuayhees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends, and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you. Prophecy Keepers does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Ginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hi, this is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mississippi.
Mid America. This is the March 19th, 2005 version of Prophecy Keepers Radio, and our honored guest once again, backed by request and a public demand and acclaim, is the Reverend Dr. Robert Ghostwolf. How are you tonight?
We're hanging in there, Earth people. We're watching the movie.
You think I was going to say the Reverend Dr. Jesse Jackson?
Yeah, well, this is a reverend that does not call Michael Jackson.
Well, the TV stations over in Great Britain, some of them are taking his, or his radio stations, some of those are not playing his music anymore.
Well, there isn't any news anymore. We know this. Everything now is just media stuff, which is basically on, cable has wiped out the news media. So you have a few old fossils that they parade around every once in a while. They used to tell the news. And the story about most of those guys who did all the news, 60 Minutes and all that stuff, and Cronkite, and that's the whole club. So all those guys came out of Stars and Stripes, which was the periodical that they put out during World War II. So, Edward R. Murrow, and they were all part of a club, because I used to, when I was a young, gallivanting, wannabe artist-type kid, I lived with the family who owned the New York Times.
Really?
Yeah, the Cat Sanders. And he had seen some of my work in Europe when I came back here, and he was one of the sponsors. Anyway, to make a long story short, these guys used to come to the house every weekend, one or the other. So I got to know all those guys, as a very young man, and the news I see today is, totally different. The people are totally different. Everything's about, they're almost like talk show hosts, rather than news hosts. And it's based on personalities and their opinions. And it's a really sad state of affairs. But watching the news these days, it's like watching Caligula in Rome.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, really? What's happening next? And I think that this is part of the malaise that people have, because, we still have certain habits, and we still do certain things at certain times, and there are still people that, do the 9 to 5, and they come home, and they sit down and eat, and they watch the evening news to see what's going on in the world. So, okay, let's do something clean. Let's do something wholesome. Let's watch sports. What's going on in the sports world? These guys are on this drug. That guy did this. This guy corrupted this. This guy's being arrested for this. It's like, wow, So, okay, the heck with sports. Let's see what's going on the local level. Well, there's been 5 murders today in Albuquerque, 6 bank robberies. Okay, well, the hell with the local news. Let's go to the foreign news. Let's see what's going on in the world. And then all you see is people blowing each other up and shooting each other up. I mean, it's just pretty pathetic. And the crimes, the nature of the crimes. You remember when people used to do wholesome things, like rob trains?
Yeah.
Butch Cassidy is a bad kid. How is it? What are the movies going to be like 30 years from now? Isn't that an interesting projection? Here we are with the King of Pop, Peter Pan. Peter Pan means Twinkie, It's so what happens is that people just, they turn off. And then when you go from that and you go to even the subjects on the local, soap operas, they have them daytime and nighttime now. The very theme of these shows follows the pulse beat of what's going on in the news. So for me, it's like watching Caligula in Rome on the air every day. So it makes, I think, some people who are good people trying to do those things wonder why they're doing it. And, it doesn't stop there. Okay, well, the heck with all this stuff. This is all evil. Let's go to the church. So then you go to the section of the news that covers world religion, and I think he's better off in baseball.
I guess it's time to do the opposite of what they did in the 60s. Instead of tune in, turn on, drop out, it's time to tune out.
Well, you know, that's a funny thought, isn't it? But it's true.
Drop out.
You almost want to do the opposite of what we did in the 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in the 60s, we were trying to open all the doors, trying to open doors to this, investigate that. And maybe we made a mistake. Maybe too much freedom isn't a good thing.
Well, the pendulum always swings, you know, back and forth. I was a raised Republican, but I'll tell you, looking back at it, I'm glad that there's a two-party system, even though George Washington thought that would tear our nation up. But something had to be some kind of balance. There's only, I don't know, it's a tough call. On the home front here, I'll tell you before the interview, both our cars are broken down now. One's been broken down for 2-3 months, and the other one's broken down. And anyway, so we live about 100 yards from a convenience store. I'm walking back, you know, with some hot dogs or something, because Betty's been sick and she still like cooking it. And she's going to have, she went through like 2.5 weeks of flu, and then she came up with this real bad pain in her right shoulder. Come to find out, she's got a fatty tumor, a lipoma on her left shoulder that's causing the pain. And anyway, walking back, and I'm looking up at the sky, and I see strips of clouds. Evenly, it was like jets flew over. That's exactly what happened. Every half or three quarter of a mile, and dumped their load of whatever it is they dump. And as far as the eye could see, these things were running from east to west in a uniform pattern, you know, every half a mile or so in the sky. As far as I could see north, which was 3 or 4 miles, as far as I could see south, which is a good 10 miles, it's just absolutely amazing. Never seen anything like it before. I mean, if it isn't obvious that they're messing with the weather, I don't...
Did you try calling the Air Force?
Hey,
you know, the first thing that they would do is tell you we don't have any planes up.
Yeah, right.
You know, I remember once I was in Arizona. I have some land up there in the mountains, and I'm in Arizona, and I'm with about 8 people, and we're out in the middle of the wilderness. We figure we would be alone. We'd be, you know, in seclusion and everything. It's about, it's summertime, so it gets dark real late there. But it's about 7:30 at night, and we just gotten through doing a sweat lodge. And we come out of the lodge, and at eye level, there is a Hawk helicopter with a guy with the big bug eyes looking straight into my face, you know. And, you know, and what this guy didn't know is that, you know, that I guess that he had no way of knowing, was that the group of people I were with, they were seasoned outdoorsmen, okay? And everybody had walkie-talkies, and everybody was armed, and because that's the nature of life out in the wilderness in the West. And so we immediately, one guy called up the National Guard, one guy proceeded to call up the police, and one guy proceeded to call the Air Force. They all denied they had anything up in the air, okay? And so we all sort of looked at each other, and we reconfirmed this. This happens like in a matter of maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and because they're all calling from separate cell phones. Anyway, the Air Force says, no, we don't have anything up there. The police say, no, we don't have anything up there. National Guard goes, no, we don't have anything up there. So I go, okay, then I'm going to order my guys to get rid of the illusion. At that point, they hear all 6 rifles click. Well, did you know that illusion just disappeared? It just vanished. But, you know, I mean, you see this stuff all the time. I remember riding from Spokane, Washington, over to Idaho, because every once in a while you just had to escape out of the state of Washington. And I was going over to Idaho, and there's this strange-looking anomaly on the side of the road about 3 miles back up on the hill, and it's like this huge golf ball, and it's surrounded by an array of antennas, okay? and I'm looking at square clouds. I mean, the clouds look like somebody had just baked cornbread and cut them in slices. You know what I mean? And, you know, and of course, you know, nobody claims anything. As a matter of fact, I just did a radio show the other morning. We were talking about this kind of phenomenon and chemtrails and things like that. Somebody said, you know, but the problem is that we don't have enough aircraft to do this. And I said, you know, about a year ago, I contacted an admiral in the U.S. Navy. He's with U.S. Navy Intelligence down in Tampa, Florida, because he was the husband of a woman who had come to some of my events and heard me talk about this weird stuff. And she went home. She's talking to her husband, who is giving her very strange-looking eyes, like, who is this fellow she's going to listen to talk? And so I called him up on her bequest. And I started telling him about this stuff. And I got him to the point where he said, I'll look into it, okay? Because I'm telling him, saying, why are these things all over the place? Why are they everywhere? Why are they in New York? Why are they over Atlanta, over Florida, over Texas, over Indiana, over Ohio, over New Mexico, over California? You know, for crying out loud, they're even over Hawaii, okay? And so he started to check, and he said, well, he said, you know, what you said was true. These things are all over the place. He says, but I've only got one problem. If these planes are flying at 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet, and then you got this other little tiny black jet thing that flies at about 20,000 feet, he says, we don't have enough aircraft that big that can fly that high and do that kind of work that could be doing this all at once. I said, okay. I said, so what does that mean? I said, you're looking at it. You're looking at it because they have those radar programs that show the weather, and they clearly show these round circles emanating out of the weather, and then in other places they show these diagonal patterns going across for, you know, 100 miles. And I said, you're looking at it. I'm looking at it. And you're telling me that you don't have enough planes to do this, then what does that mean? Does that mean that somebody else is doing it? Okay. Or does that mean that somehow they're doing it in between the pages of time? Because if we were free from the constraints of time, then we could be everywhere we wanted to be at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, I know it's getting a little weird, isn't it? It sounds almost like the Montauk experiment or something. So I left him with a bunch of books to read. He's never called me back.
The general?
The admiral.
Oh, it's an admiral.
Yeah, he was in naval intelligence. They were the ones that tracked all the satellites and sat there in the big computer rooms and did all that stuff.
Space Command was run by...
Yeah, and I wasn't looking for an opinion. I was looking for an explanation, you know. And as close as we could get was he saw what I saw. We both saw what we were both looking at. We both acknowledged to each other that it was there, but there was no way that it could be being done. So, those are the times that we live in. You know, it's like I could be sitting here, and I'm looking at the Doppler radar weather screen, and I'm over on the east side of the mountain range, and they're telling me that it is 49 degrees and partly cloudy. And I open up my window, and I look out my window, and I'm looking at a snowstorm. You know, so, again, these are the times we live in. So why doubt yourself when you see something? Don't doubt yourself when you see something. Just keep trying to dig. Keep trying to find out. Sooner or later, they've got to at least admit to us that there's something going on that they don't know. Sooner or later.
Well, you had indicated you wanted to kind of continue to talk about how to cope with the, you know, mentally and physically and spiritually, you know, with the end time changes and a lot going on, a lot of stuff that...
Well, yeah, I mean, we... What we're just talking about leaves you to question your own reality, doesn't it? Because if you go to any level of investigation, all you get is official denial. And so, you're wondering, oh, well, and then so you shrug it off and you bury it and it didn't happen. You didn't see it, you know. You didn't see all the trees in the Northwest dying from the top down. You didn't see all the fish disappearing and turned up on their bellies. You didn't see all the herbs that grew in the lower canopies of the forest disappearing. You know, we keep seeing things, those of us who are still in connection with the outside, and we keep getting told that we're not seeing what we're seeing, you know. And, you know, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, makes a noise like a duck, smells like a duck, it just may be a duck. But we're seeing all of these things, and everyone's telling us, no, 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 no. Then we look at the news, and we're seeing all of these Armageddon scenario, doomsday kind of things going on. Then sometimes people turn on that other guy on the radio, and they listen to the voice of doom tell them that all these things are happening, you know, and it's like, you know, this is wonderful, and I'm glad that the guy's able to live in a cave in the middle of Hawaii someplace and see all this stuff. I don't know how he sees all this stuff from the cave.
He ever moved back from New Zealand? Oh, he's in Maui.
Yeah, he was on Maui for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, this guy's really cool. He's got, like, the magic cave. He's better than Merlin.
I mean, that's, like, one of the worst places to be in the end times. This is right in the Bible.
Oh, yeah, let's go sit on top of the volcano.
Yeah, islands are here, not the place to be, you know, in the end times.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit India-Herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
So we were told that as these 13 Lords of Light would come into being, they would bring about a cracking of the consciousness that had gotten so thick, where the souls of man had laid down so low in vibration to the point that they almost became as dense as the rocks themselves. And that there would be these great emotional storms. So that's what I started writing my stuff about. What was going to happen to humanity? What was going to happen when we walked into the future, not the days to come, and it was safely off somewhere in the distance, and we could go, you know, on a picnic someplace and forget about it and just go fly fishing? What would we do if we had to walk through the middle of this? What would we do if some of the things that the Hopi elders told us about actually started to happen? What would we do if we actually had to walk through the middle of the dramas of some of the prophecies that Edgar Cayce saw? What would we do and how would we react? What would happen to humanity? What would happen to the children? What would happen as they turned around and they literally looked along, across, and over the field of the panorama of human life, and they saw all the social structures collapsing, the monetary structures collapsing, the religious structures collapsing, the science structures collapsing, the consciousness itself collapsing, what would happen and how would they deal with it? Would it be the end? Would it be an end? Would it be absolute horror? How would people cope with it? What could they do to fortify themselves as we walk into this, the end of this cycle of self-destruction? And we knew that as we entered the cycle of self-destruction, we would simultaneously be entering the age of the emergence. Now, the emergence can seem to be an innocuous term, sort of nebulous. It's like, well, what are you talking about, the emergence? What the Mayans saw, and I really don't care about the books, folks. I don't care about those guys who ripped my Mayan brothers off and wrote to you about 25 things that they saw at a 2500 and came out with the Encyclopedia of Mayan Knowledge. I'm talking about sitting down over a fire, talking about prophecies. I'm talking about, well, what did they see? What does the Popol Vuh say? What does the Chilambalam really say? You know, well, who is this guy in the Chilambalam? Who is he talking? How come every time I hear this person talk, I'm hearing the words of Yeshua? I'm hearing the words of the Christ. How come they totally align themselves? How come the things he's talking about are in prophecies are the same things that they talk about in Judeo-Christian philosophy and mythology? How come they're so identical? How come these acts that this person brought, how come they're so parallel? How come, as we hear these things, how come the Mayans were concerned about this emergence where on December 21st, 2012, at dawn, this great occurrence happened? And is it the end of the world? Was Jose correct? Do we just chew on the cyanide pill now? Because all these other guys tell us all this stuff, and it's like going to an amusement park and you go into the horror show, you know. There is no escape. It is the end. God doesn't love you. You know, I don't believe in that Jehovah stuff, okay? Jehovah is an immature, ungracious little God who never took on human form, who does nothing for us. He makes men bow down and eat their own dung. This is not a loving, caring God to me. You know, my God is caring and loving. My God gives birth to butterflies, flowers, and little children. And my God has miracles that happen when we're sitting there and there's no water and there's no food, and all of a sudden you come across a patch in the woods and there's all these berries and different things and duck eggs everywhere. And like, well, how did this happen? Or you're sitting there and everything's a dust bowl and there's no hope, and the Doppler weather is telling us that it's 95 and there'll be no rain for the next 6 weeks. And all of a sudden in this little town somewhere in the middle of Indiana, it rains. So my God makes miracles. My God loves us, and my God always shows us a way. My God only says to me, all I want you to do is to try to believe, to try to live a good life. Beyond that, I want you to taste everything. I want you to explore everything. I want you to laugh, and I want you to play. But I may know a strange God, because when I look around the world, we are now walking through the end times. The Hopi said a year ago now, when they locked up and you and I were talking, and they said, well, nobody goes to Hopiola anymore. It's not that people don't go there. It's that they're not talking. They're getting ready. They're preparing. These are the end times. Folks are in the end times. We are seeing now a slow, continuous, steady build-up of events. And the gods, whoever they may be, despite your little opinion, they live in their own realm. The forces of nature and the forces of the universe exist in their own paradigm of reality, and they will have done what they will have done. And the miracle about what's going on right now is we are watching these things going on. We are watching right here in America families becoming homeless and finding out how to try to live in little communities and survive. We're finding people going out to the woods, to the desert, trying to make little camps so that they can survive and have enough, because they're learning that humanity works on common ground. It works on commonality. It works on I help you, you help me, and together we get the ditch dug for the irrigation in 2 days instead of a month. Humanity works on we all go out and collect firewood, we all go out and collect berries. Humanity works on we all go on the buffalo hunt and we have enough food for the whole winter. We have walked away from that. We have walked away from that on so many levels. We sit there in this pugnacious little egotistical world where we think that I don't need anything. I have the whole earth cataloged. I can get my own generator. I can get my own. 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 Well, what's happening right now is happening in a way that it's not an overwhelming, devastating, Armageddon kind of catastrophe. We're not looking at the level of cataclysmic events as they could be, and they may very well be. We're looking at things happening in succession. They're becoming more and more frequent. They're becoming bigger and more terrible. I mean, you didn't want to hear about the earthquakes and the ocean causing things and this little tsunami wave. And, you know, just around Christmas time when I was talking to the Hopi and I was talking to my friend Mr. Night Owl out in Hawaii, and he was talking to the kahunas there, and it was around solstice time, and we were talking about what was going to happen with the, you know, that we saw happening in the world. And we all saw this thing with the tsunami happen. We didn't know what we were seeing. We saw a massive devastation, buildings collapsing, all just everywhere. And then we woke up the day after Christmas morning, and bingo, there it was. But we didn't want to listen when it happened with just one little wave that hit some beach in Hawaii, or it hit some little town somewhere off in Japan. You know, we live in a world where we look at things through the news, so everything's far away. It's not home, you know. And we didn't want to listen when they told us that around this time the Cascade Range was going to activate. And now, just in the past few weeks, we've seen thousands upon tens of thousands of earthquakes from Vancouver Island and north in Alaska all the way down to Popo in Mexico. So we're seeing the whole chain being activated. We're seeing the entire Pacific Rim being activated. We're seeing massive floods. We just came out of over 8 years of drought in the Southwest. It was so dry that even the snakes were leaving. That's how dry it was.
Wow.
And now we're seeing flood. We're seeing California going from being burned to being washed away. Look at what's happening out there, you know? We were told how many couple of years ago that the animals were going to start to act strangely. I remember Chief Dan saying, yeah, you'll be sitting there, and even the rabbits will come after you and attack you. And now we're seeing all of these things, cougar attacks, bear attacks, wolf attacks, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're seeing all of these different things. We were told that the animals would start to be born in mutated forms. And I got up on the air and spoke about that with Speaking Wind many times, about the three little demons that were coming. And that one of them would sort of disappear for a while. One of them we would think that we had a hold on and a control over, but it would mutate and become something else. The other one would be devastating, and it would hit us, but we would find a way to fix that. And that when this other one that disappeared came back, we would start to see massive amounts of the microbes and the plankton in the waters die. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing that now. So we're being shown things, but we're being shown things very gently, I think. We're being shown, this is serious, you don't want to listen to me about the beach in Japan, so here's a major tsunami. All right, you didn't want to listen to us, and we sent you the messengers, and they told you about this, so here's 3,800 earthquakes in Vancouver, and not less than a week later, you have St. Helens blow its top. But again, was the devastation total? Was the devastation overwhelming? Did it erase human life? No, they're warnings. They're alarm clocks going off, telling us you got to change the way you're thinking. You got to change the way you're thinking. So I think that opens up a door to what do we do to cope with these times? What do we do to when we see reality changing right before our eyes? When we see relationships coming into being and melting, and you're living a whole life experience in a couple of months, you know, what is going on? What do you deal when you see your children just walk away? You know, it doesn't matter whether you're an Apache, whether you're a Lakota, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Protestant, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Tibetan, whether you're a Mayan. We're seeing this happen everywhere. So why is it happening? Why are the children leaving? You know, why don't we just slow down a little bit and take a look at what's going on in our own lives and take it right down to the core? And I think at the beginning of the core, to understand what's going on outside of you, the only way you're ever going to deal with what's going on outside of you is by grabbing hold and owning what you are inside of you. You can steer your own ship through many seas, but you cannot necessarily navigate an entire navy.
I'm to cleanse the inner vessel, as Jesus would put it, huh?
I'm clean the devil.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That starts right out with
money
the stuff changers. You put in your mouth.
Money changers, we've got to get them out. He thought that was important enough. Greed. Got to drive greed out. Gandhi said if there were no greed, there'd be no need. So, yeah. Yeah, and our bodies are in pretty bad shape, too. How interesting.
Well, isn't it funny how the social dictates of, you know, Napoleon Hill wrote the book Think and Grow Rich.
Uh-huh.
How did this become our Bible? When I look at the people today, that's what they're doing. They're Think and Grow Rich. Get a bigger car. Get a Lexus. Get this. Get that. They're even trying to make the cars look like each other.
Yeah.
They're making little Hyundais look like little Jaguars.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and they're making this one look like that one. You know, they all look the same. You don't know what you're looking at anymore. There's no, you know, big, beautiful, big, thin, blue DeSoto convertibles anymore. There's no 57 Chevys or, you know, we don't. And you know, and you can get one of these if you're good and you behave and you do everything society tells you to, then you can afford this $600,000 two-bedroom house in San Jose, California. I mean, you know, you can go out and you can buy this $55,000 station wagon. I'm like, wow, my whole life I waited for this, you know. I mean, do you know how many kids I can feed, how many horses I can heal, how many books I can buy for kids, how many I could do with one $55,000 station wagon? And you know what? In 3 years, you got to dump it anyway.
Yeah, what a waste.
You know, in 5 years, it's in the junk heap. You know, you sit there, just a few years ago, you went out and got a computer so you could be on the internet and you could listen to things and do all this stuff, and you paid $5,000 for that. Now you can get them for $3.99 on Dell computers.
$55,000, you can get a 55-acre ranch here in the Ozarks and raise horses or beef cattle or whatever you want to. I mean, this is prime horse country. Prime milk cattle.
Well, it's just our perceptions have gotten all warped out.
Incredible, yeah.
It's like, well, when is it going to stop? Where is the end of this? How the hell can they do this? What is it? Okay, so we just raised the national debt to $200 trillion. So what we'll do is we'll raise the price of everything in America by 30%.
Yes.
We'll make up the deficit.
We knew that was coming when they put $55 billion in last May. You know, we knew inflation was coming last May. I did.
Well, It's called Forgetting the Golden Rule of Honoring Life for the Next Seven Generations. What we're doing is we're buying our way out now with credit, and we're putting the debt on our children. So that three generations now, these people are so helplessly enslaved to a society because they're born into $1 million debt the minute that they come out of the womb, that there's no way in hell they can ever break away from the imposed enslavement of the society because they're in debt. People don't realize how the whole national debt thing works. Well, what has this got to do with spirituality? Well, if you understand how you're imprisoned, then you might understand that this is several bars. Okay? And what they do and how they barter the national debt and the interest with the foreign banks is that they turn around and they bargain off the future generation and what that generation will bring in as far as earnings in their lifetime, and that's what they barter against it. Okay? I mean, that is literally down to the bottom line what they barter against it. So what they're saying is, we're going to correct this little fupa that we did in South America with the Bank of America, and we're going to fix this thing that we screwed up in Iraq, and what we'll do is we'll put it on the third generation from now. The people then won't even remember what the hell happened. And besides, they won't be able to because they'll have to ask permission for everything that they do because they owe their very life sustenance to us. It's a scary nightmare, but it's the truth. You know, I mean, travel through America and find out. Right now, one of the biggest things going on is refinance your home. Get out of debt. Well, and that's kind of a stupid angry, isn't it? I mean, you have this house, and now you're going to go out, and it's almost debt-free, so now you're going to get a second mortgage or a third mortgage, and you're going to pay off all your bills that you're paying 21% interest on.
We'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony. So it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And then you're going to turn around and you're going to put that all on your back. Now your house, you can never sell it. You can never get out of it. It's not going to happen right now, but it'll happen in the next 5 to 10 years. And then all of a sudden, there you are. You owe us $150,000, $300,000. And then we come in and look at it and we go, well, you know, your house really isn't worth that. We have this new program now that we can put out. And the thing is, beyond that, where is all this money coming from for these mortgages? I thought we were in debt and we were broke and we didn't have any money. We're worried about paying Social Security. Well, where the money's coming from is the foreign bankers. Foreign bankers are buying up all the real estate.
Yep.
They are buying up the real estate. It is a field day at the Saturday auction.
Oh, the okay? Japanese.
You can buy America for 9 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, the Mojave Desert. I mean, they. Yeah.
So, you know, and then we sit there, and then, you know, so 10 years from now, they're going to come up to the prophets and go, what's happening? And the only thing that we can say is, well, you did something really stupid. Now, how are we supposed to do it? We can see what's going to happen, but how can we tell you to get out of it? Because you didn't want to listen. And, you know, when you listen to somebody telling you what they see, to the best of their ability, if they were Yeshua himself, they can only see it through Yeshua's eyes. I can't see it through your eyes. I can have empathy. I can feel your emotions. I can look at your life and I can see the way you're walking down the road, and I can tell you what I think may happen. But I can't see it through your eyes. I can't feel it through your emotions. That's one of the miracles of this place. With all the 8 billion people that are running around, we each have our own little individual dream. We each have our own individual, you know, renewal of life. We have our little miracles that make our life work. You know, this is another thing that the media is doing to people. They no longer have individual thought. They no longer value themselves based on what they did. You know, and over here in America, we watch all those great Tom Selleck movies and everything. But that was about a time when a man or a woman went out and they cut their own path. You know, and most of us don't even take the time to be aware of what was life just 100 years ago. How come most of the West, the Wild West, most of the women who were able to do anything were prostitutes? Well,
yeah.
it was the only vocation that they were allowed. They were shunned if they started their own business. They were shunned if they had their own ranch. They were shunned if they did anything on an individual basis. But y'all can be a girl down at the local saloon. That's okay. But don't get too successful. Whatever you do, don't run for politics. And yet today, has the world really changed that much? I wonder. We're seeing things, you know, start to open up. We're seeing women move into positions of power in politics. But my question a lot of times when I look at these women is, do they celebrate their femininity? Do they celebrate their being a woman? Do they celebrate the goddess? Do they celebrate all the wonderful attributes that have made women what women are for the last 30,000 years of life that we can remember on this plane? Or are they bitter and hurt and broken and mean? Okay? I remember I used to see pictures of Margaret Thatcher on the news and I'd run away. I'd get scared.
Yeah.
That was an angry woman. You know? And, you know, and so we no longer track our roots are being broken. Our family ties are being broken. Does this mean it was better in the good old days? No, hell, it doesn't mean it was better in the good old days. People talk to me about the good old days in New Mexico. Well, the good old days in New Mexico, which was, you know, the 60s and the 70s, you had to sleep down here with a gun by your side. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That was good old days in New Mexico. Let's get real, people. You know, but we were allowed to express ideas. You know, which is part of what everybody fought for in the 60s and 70s, was just the right to express ideas. Santa Fe was a mecca and still is today in that it's an unusual anomaly in that every religion in the world is represented here. Every religion in the world. But we're now living in a zone of fear. Fear is everywhere. Wasn't there a song, Paranoia Strikes Deep, and your heart is going to creep? And right now, everybody's hiding. Everybody's afraid. You say something that's against the norm, you know, and you're subject of investigation of Homeland Security. So, and God help, out here there's a lot of people out in the West that own general stores, convenience stores, things like that, gas stations. And, you know, a lot of those guys wear turbans, hello?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see the fear in their eyes as every customer walks in. They don't know what wacko is going to come in there with a gun, okay, and pull something just because they're Muslim. It's like fear has gotten out of control. Out of control, okay? I mean, look at this thing that just happened with David Letterman and the kidnapping plot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, give me a break. Do you know where David Letterman lives in Montana? I can tell you where he lives in Montana, because he lives in Choteau, Montana. That's his getaway place, on 4,000 acres, right by the Bob Marshall Wilderness. And part of his land is where we did the ghost dance on. So I'm very familiar where Letterman's Hideaway is. And the fact that some guy just goes in there and says, I'm going to take your kid, I'm going to ask you for $5 million. Things are out of whack, people. Things are out of whack when they got to look in the news and they got to see that there are more than one incidents of American parents peddling their kids to pornographers for as little as a carton of cigarettes.
Well, speaking of which, tomorrow night on America's Most Wanted, they're going to have the story of the kidnapping and the holding for ransom of Chief Charles Gattoli Rogers, the chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
Dr. Rogers had a Cherokee medicine practice, quite successful down in Matamoros. And three men came into his office and took him at gunpoint. And so folks might want to watch America's Most Wanted tomorrow night.
Maybe we can arrange this to make... Maybe we can make arrangements to get that video available for people.
Yeah, and
People have got to realize that this stuff is hitting home. It's just in their neighborhoods now.
Yeah, yeah, and they didn't cross the border. The FBI told them don't cross the border to go to the. They had a year. Cherokee Nation, Mexico had a yearly gathering. I think a third week of February down in Zaragoza, Coahuila. But I mean, it's like civil war going on down there. It's just nuts down there.
Well, look at the stuff that still goes down in Chiapas that they don't even talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, they still patrol at Mexico into certain villages and wipe everybody out with a machine gun because they went against the political regime of the day. Which answers a question as to, you know, why certain Mayan elders were not allowed up in this country. And they're not allowed up in this country because they spoke out against it and actively participated against it at risk to their own lives.
Doesn't America believe in freedom of speech? Then why do they not let Mayan elders in this country that also believe in freedom of speech? Interesting.
Well, you know, here's the good part about it.
Is that they won't allow him in, or Vicente Fox will allow him out.
We don't have to live with it forever. We can change it.
Yeah.
Change means, you know, right now change means taking responsibility. It means having a cognizant consciousness when you look at things. You know, this isn't Bambi in the woods, and we're going to have to do certain things. And it's the time of the lion and the wolf. It's not the time of the dove. This is not time of the dove at all. It's the time of the lion and the wolf. And that's what's going to get humanity through. And the wolf teachers, well, the wolf teachers have been going out there now for a long time. A lot of them are worn down. For some reason, I just keep going. I'm getting to feel like Gus and Lonesome Dove. I will make it to Montana. But, you know, it's like, you know, this June, we're doing, there were so many calls to get together and do something spiritually because nothing was really happening and everything was falling apart and no one was really taking a step, and I was getting calls from all over the country, and so I agreed to do a gathering in Montana on the summer solstice called Father Sky, Mother Earth. It's a non-political. It's about spiritual unity. Spiritual unity, not religious unity. Spiritual unity of souls. It's a gathering of souls. And
there are a few people out there who don't hate you.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, if there really were as many people out there who didn't like me as they say they do, you know, and my reputation was not as big as Billy the Kid Geronimo, you know, I wouldn't be able to survive. I mean, you know, it's you can't hide in the world that I'm in. It's impossible to hide. I'm out in public too much. You know, it's just because I didn't tell you where it was. Well, you know, I got a good press secretary. But this will be in Montana. It's on the Buffalo Ranch. We're going to be helping the Buffalo Ranch there. We got 100 buffalo. It's an absolutely magical place. Absolutely magical place. The mountains are made out of quartz. There's quartz crystals everywhere. And the springs are artesian wells that come up from... We believe that the source of the water is probably the
well,
all the way up north in the Arctic. Okay? because the water is so pure, it's just incredible. And no, don't worry, Yellowstone's not going to blow up.
Now they're saying it's going to fall in.
You know, there's a whole thing about that area.
Yeah.
And one of the amazing things about that area, if you study the geomancy of the area, is there are 36 natural pyramids made out of quartz that surround that entire area for a couple hundred miles and make a complete circle. So I don't have any fears. You know, I don't see this total devastation. I've talked about this with other elders, and I've talked about it with other seers that I give credence to. And there's not this overwhelming devastation thing that's going to happen. The only place that's going to happen is in the minds of men and on the battlefields in the Middle East, because they're creating it. But we're seeing many, many events. We're seeing many, many little volcanic eruptions, earthquakes. You know, what's little? You know, well, you know, anywhere up toward 9, you know.
Yeah.
What's big? Anything over 12, forget about it. You're not even going to be there to report it. Okay. But we're seeing these things happen with more frequency. We're seeing disease. We're seeing the hospital systems break down. They're already to the point that they can't handle the people that come in. I'm talking about America. I'm not talking about some starving country in Africa, you know, where they got millions of people laying in some camp. You couldn't even do that in America. If they started persecuting you, where do you hide in America? There is no place to go, man. They won't let you do that. They won't even let you assemble with your family in a public campground anymore in the forest there for more than 3 days, and you got to report in, okay? I mean, Big Brother's here, people. It's here. Where I live, there's 60 miles of wilderness between me and Santa Fe proper. And you used to be able to ride horses and ride your dirt bikes or do whatever you had to do back in there. You cannot do that now. You pull in there, you're riding your horses, you're doing what, you get a helicopter visit or a jeep visit. The new rock cops that are out there, they're federal officers now. And God forbid if you're out there and you're doing a ceremony that they don't understand, you know. They immediately call up the White House and say, we got a matter of national security here. These people were actually having fun. But we're seeing it. We're seeing all of it. We're seeing every single part of it unfolding. And, you know, it's like you can go and prepare now while you can walk and do it in grace. Or you can wait till the freeways are so filled with people trying to evacuate the cities that you're only going to drive 5 miles an hour anyway. Your car's going to overheat. You're going to have to go on foot the rest of the way. So it's like, you know, at what point do you wake up? At what point do you take responsibility? And what do we do to get through these changes? It starts off with you and me, not him or her or them. It starts off with me and you. In the native way, there is I. But I saw this. I took the journey. I walked many miles. I saw and spoke to Pankashua. It always starts off with I. The basic essence of all purification starts off with I. The cleansing starts with I. Getting into the Grand Master, Yeshua said, time to clean the temples, clean your house. For what hour I come, you will not know. Only the Father in heaven knows. Even the angels do not know. It went something like that. And so it's prepare in constant preparedness, not in paranoia. It's become aware, not out of fear, but out of intelligence. Out of caring. You're going to need to be able to help people. There are going to be people on the move. You're going to be able to have to take people in. You're going to have some sort of stores of food and herbs for health. You're not going to be able to go to hospitals. Walmart is not going to be there. You know, so every day that we wake up, well, don't worry, we're within 30 miles of the Walmart, we're okay. Well, you won't be able to do it. Where does everything from Walmart come from?
China.
Hello.
And who is the new big brother on the scene? China. Who's the one moving into the Middle East and saying, we'll protect you against these invaders, these imperialist dogs? China.
You got Russia teaming up with China for a military exercise now, and they're getting ready to pass a law that says that if Taiwan makes a move to officially become a free country, that they'll go to war.
Right.
That's crazy, because, I mean, they...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like...
But these are crazy times. But the point is that they're doing it. I mean, even good old Hillary Clinton got, I'm saying, really concerned about the military buildup going on in China. You know, well, China's got nothing to lose. They're already overpopulated. Their water is so polluted that they can't reclaim it. Their farmlands are so exhausted that there's not enough food. And if there's not enough food, there's two reasons why cowboys go to town. Three, food, whiskey, and women.
Yeah.
And they're having a great shortage over China. So, boys, sleep light tonight because they're coming in off the range. There's already thousands and thousands of troops in Mexico, Chinese troops.
Control the Panama Canal.
And there's an enormous amount of Chinese troops just north of the U.S. border over in B.C.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingraham, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why?
Especially down in this weird little area in Montana that they call the Yak. A lot of strange stuff goes on there, folks. Strange trains that are 2-3 miles long, filled with Russian and Chinese military vehicles traveling under the cloak of darkness and arriving in the middle of the Yak in Montana.
Well,
I guess they're going to use them to herd cows.
Cloak of darkness, now that I was 10 years ago, I was driving about 6 miles south of Moab, Utah, and a Scud missile and its launcher, I mean, green missile with the big red star, went right by me on the back of a semi. I live 22 miles south of Moab out in the desert. I'm going, where is that one going? You know, is that going down to that Air Force base in New Mexico that's controlled by the Germans? Or where is it going? That Air Force
they're teaching the German pilots how to fly and operate under desert conditions.
Is it Kirtland that is completely controlled by the German Air Force? Kirtland Air Force?
Yeah, Hallendorf Air Force Base.
Hallendorf, yeah. Of course, they had to have a German name, yeah.
Of course, they had to, sir.
They
are still the superior Luftwaffe, you know.
They still fly their starfighters.
I mean, who are all of our scientists? Who created the space program? Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't, you know, Lennon and McCartney.
Operation Paperclip.
You know, who brought all these guys on these big estates on the North Shore and South Shore of Long Island and Glen Cove and upstate New York and California and Colorado, and who gave them all these companies to work with, and who runs the pharmaceutical companies? Hello?
Well, my dad was a head of research scientist rating with NASA, and one of his biggest idols was Wernher von Braun. You know, I mean, Wernher von Braun was one of the biggest Nazis.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, he shows up in the 50s and 60s building rockets in the United States. How did that happen?
Who's planning the whole war strategy over the Middle East? Rumsfeld. So it's like, you know, the children of these people are now, you know, well integrated into the society. Their corporations are well integrated into the corporate system. You know, so now we're going to open up the wilderness areas of Alaska to get more oil that we won't see for 15 years anyway. You know, it's just watch the footsteps. You just watch the footsteps. And so that leads people to say, well, what do I do, man? I mean, I drive a truck, and I got a little job, and my family's got a little job, and what can I do to change all this? I mean, you know, I can't really do anything. So once again, we become overwhelmed, and we implode, and we crawl back. We go back to the house, and then we wonder what's happening with our relationships, why they're falling apart. We're wondering why the children aren't wanting to be around us. Well, you know, why would you want to be around adults who weren't fun?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be around people who are always in fear? How can you have a relationship when you can't get out of the stress of everyday fear that has now become at a level where 25 years ago they would have sent you for psychiatric treatment, but you're living through this manic depression every day of your life and you're considered normal?
Yeah.
You know, why is everybody on, why are they giving kids Ritalin and Prozac and all that other terrible crap that they're giving them, okay? You know, let's get them on drugs early, man, you know. Well, I'm a kid of the 70s, you know, it's not always a good idea, you know. So, what do we do? What do we do? Okay, we've just done the doom and gloom thing. That was good, okay?
Hey, we can cut back on our lifestyle, live on a half or two-thirds of our income, and start being smart. Start looking into making some preparations. If you're not making them now, it may already be too late. You
know? We start learning how to share.
That's right. Start thinking.
We start learning how to drop our judgments.
That's right.
We start to learn that I can only do so much with two hands and two legs. I need my neighbor to help me. Look at what's happened to the neighborhood. When I was a kid, not that long ago, and when I was a kid, Eric used to go out at night in the summertime, and you always heard the mothers calling, Johnny, it's time to come home, because everyone was out playing stickball or dodgeball or something in the street, okay? Kids were playing everywhere. You drive through the neighborhoods now, they're empty, man.
Yeah.
Or you drive through and they're empty, you know?
Raising fire on the air.
You know, where are they, you know? And... where are the kids? Where are the neighbors? Look at Halloween. You can't even go out and celebrate Halloween. Okay. I mean, you know, everything's about every year, the week before Halloween, they put up all the programs, you know, with Alfred, a razor blades and a broken glass and the acid and everything else and the kids' apples and candy bars.
Not to forget the devil.
You know, so how long do we have to wait, sit there like turtles on a rock, and watch everything unravel, okay? And how are we going to go out and tell people you got to change things without sounding like foolish old bums walking down, you know, the Bowery or some street downtown L.A. telling them that the Lord's going to come and the Day of Judgment's going to be here? Nobody's going to listen to that.
Sandwich boards, yeah.
You know, what they're going to listen to is, today I decided to change my life. Today I decided I'm not going to live in fear. Today I decided I'm going to live the next 90 days for my potentiality and what I am and what I want to do, rather than accept all the things that I don't want to do and be all the things I don't want to be. I decided that I'm going to sit here for 7 days and play a game with myself And for 7 days, I'm not just going to scream at my mate, or I'm not going to scream at my kids without a good reason. I'm going to stop myself, and I'm going to say, why is this going on? Why am I getting aggravated? Why am I getting so annoyed that I want to go into an attack mode? Excuse me, people, but these are your kids. You know, I never met a kid, and I worked with a lot of I worked with a lot of young bloods in my life who were the rebels of the universe, but I never met a human being that could withstand passion and a compassion. I also never met a child who would refuse a kind eye. You know, children can tell, little dogs can tell. We are supposed to be the superior species. So why don't we start out? And why don't we start out by ourselves? What's the first thing you do? First thing you do, whoever you believe God is you say, I'm going to try to be more like you every day. When I walk down that aisle in the supermarket, instead of grabbing that cabbage and beating that woman over the head because she cut me off, I'm just going to laugh at it and say, aren't people funny? It's not easy. What I'm saying to do is not easy. What it does is it changes your reaction. So that instead of being reactionary, you're coming into a causal existence. You're not charging things.
Somebody would say you're giving yourself the power.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what are they going to take away from you?
Yeah, reach down and pick up that piece of paper.
Yeah, it's a lot of power. It takes a lot of energy to do that. Most of the other guys just walk over it.
Don't empower the litterer.
Uh-huh. So, and how can you criticize people for things that you don't take on and do yourself? So it's a matter of grabbing responsibility for your life walk. Right now we're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing a lot of things change in our relationships, yes. We're seeing relationships come and go really quickly. A lot of people feel like, well, you know, I've already lived so many lifetimes in this lifetime, you know. Well, okay. Hey, blow off the dust, pilgrim, because what you're getting a chance to do is you're getting a chance to have a life review while you're here.
Right.
You're getting a chance to change the pathway of your footsteps while you're here, not after you go to the next place. You're getting a chance to do it right now. When these things come up in your face, you're getting a chance to deal with it right now. And what that requires from both sides, because it takes two sides to manifest an experience, what you have to have with both sides is a lot of compassion. It's a lot of compassion, not giving in and, you know, letting people whine and weep and rant all over the place, because it's like it's just allowing somebody to make mistakes because you make mistakes. It's learning how to change our humor. We've developed a type of humor where everything's cutting, everything's a put down, you know. I don't know if it's because of what we're seeing or on TV or the movies or what, but it's like, stop putting the other mate down. Stop putting your other half down. That's your other half, man. I mean, you're going through life together, regardless of what it is. If you decide you're going to separate, well, then separate, but separate with dignity, because you still may have children involved in that relationship. And, man, I remember the night that the two of you got together, and she was the goddess of Olympus, and you were the chief Adonai in the universe, and all this other stuff, and everyone told you, hey, take it easy, slow down. You said, nope, don't have to. I know what's going on. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you jumped into the pool, sucker. Now you got to swim, you know. You got to swim with it. You got to swim with the responsibility of it. And unfortunately, unlike 100 years ago, we don't have the elders to put it through the rites of passage. We don't have that. So what we've got is a lot of adults that are acting like little immature kids.
Yeah.
Because they never went through the rites of passage. You know, you want to lay with that woman, you want to have a child, she wants to have a child with you, you got to understand what that means. You can't be a wild animal running around now. You got to decide whether or not you're going to join the human race. And that's a big decision. I think even if we go back to that movie, Little Big Man, where he's talking to Chief Dan, and Chief Dan goes, well, there never were a lot of human beings, but we knew who each other were.
Yeah.
You know, and we allowed for a lot of things. And, you know, if we look back at those times and those people, they were very compassionate. They didn't judge people because they were one way or another. They were just, okay, he's the guy who sits home and makes blankets of women. That's what he does. You know, he's the guy who goes out and hunts. He's always the guy sitting down talking politics. One day he may be a chief. You know, what did the children do? They'll tell you what they want to do if you allow them to do what they want to do. And it's very hard right now because so many ways of life, so many things that we would go through in a natural progression of living life, the dance of life, that we would become on the way to becoming what we would become, are no longer available to us. It's very hard in a lot of places now to go out and just get a job and be somewhat close to what you want to do. It's very hard right now to want to go out and start a farm or start a ranch because you can't just go out and get 50, 75 cows and pay the mortgage. The only way you're going to do it is if you get 5,000 cows. And then you're going to come out maybe only $20,000 in debt every year. But it's hard. It's hard now. So we have to be compassionate with our children. And our children need a place. They need to come back and feel the parents hold them and say, it's okay. You didn't do something wrong. Because we're too easy to judge and tell everybody how wrong they were and what they did wrong and how they could do it better. And their kid isn't stupid. The kid's looking at you going, well, your life isn't exactly what I call perfect, you know? So it's like, how do you explain to the children that all I am is a big kid, all you are is a little kid. I've got more experience than you, so I can help you get through this. I can take you out and take you on the bear walk and come back and teach you how to trap and do all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean that because I've done this for 20 years and I got a reputation that the bear won't kill me one day if I do something stupid. You know, where is the father and son, mother and daughter, parent and child relationship? Where is the children sitting down and talking to the grandparents, hearing about what they did and looking at them with respect and realizing that they were in their lives great people? Where, that's something that's really, really missing. So that goes back to how do I start me and how do I fix me? You're not going to fix the world. You got to fix you first. And then you got to fix you. It's like baby steps. Then you got to fix you in your relationship with you. Once you start to fix the do people enjoy flying off the handle? Do they enjoy screaming and yelling and ranting and raving? And it's amazing how in life, it's truly amazing how in life, how we think that we have progressed beyond the limitations of our parents, and yet we become our parents in front of our very eyes.
Oh, yeah.
We play out the role because that's what you saw every day. Was dad screaming or dad doing this or dad was drinking too much or dad was disrespectful to mom or mom always henpecked dad, always put dad down. He was always trying to come up with new ideas and she kept putting him down. You know, and I kept telling him, listen, leave dad alone, okay? One day he just may come up with a light bulb, you know? We get farther along the road by encouraging each other. It doesn't mean that we allow bad things to happen. It doesn't mean that we allow people to be rude. It does not mean that we allow people to be vicious with their tongues. One careless word can ruin a child's life for the next 30 years of their life, if not their whole life. So it's like the responsibility goes back to self. Do you just let things fly off at the hip? Or do you think about what you're doing before you do it? Do you live your life with purpose? Is each step that you walk deliberate? Or are you just a leaf at the mercy of the wind? Is it always somebody else's fault? And I think that as we start to make these, and we have the time, you always have as much time as you need. And you start at a small level. If people started to focus on them, and they started to focus on their family, and they started to focus on their neighborhood. And if the guy has a disaster, you don't sit there and go, yeah, man, the guy lost his whole house in the flood. It was really bad. So we sat here and got a bunch of 12-packs and watched the whole thing for a month. They went crazy. They wound up getting divorced. But nobody ever walked over to the guy and said, hey, man, you know, I figure there's about 40 of us here, and if we all get together and chip in and buy some 2x4s down at Home Depot and do stuff, hell, we could have a new house up for you in about 2 weeks. Remember those days?
Well, I'll tell you what our group's doing. About a year and a half ago, we have 5-6 families here, and we bought a sawmill. And it's a band mill. And then, you know, very slowly, you know, we foundation down, you know, it took us several weekends of doing that, working together. I mean, I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about people that are all over 50 years old.
Wow.
And
so it was a geriatric sawmill.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, slowly over a period of time, you know, one of the landowners had a building. We turned that into a wood shop. We finally got the third wall on. It's enclosed. You know, and you know, we gathered up tools from here and there, and now you know, it's been slow going. It's been frustrating. It took you know, 2-3 years to get to this point. Now we just finished putting in several hundred board feet of logs. You know, so we you know, we've got enough mm-hmm. lumber, you know, for two houses
mm-hmm.
and a storehouse. And by fall, to have our wood shop up and going and humming and providing they project at least part time jobs for four people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we decided we were going to do something. You know, we planned it starting 5 years ago, put it in motion 2 years ago. You know, put the rubber to the road 2 years ago. Instead of standing around scratching our heads and talking about how we couldn't do it, we're starting to do it.
We'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Yeah, and every day goes as far as you can come.
And you know, we're five family. None of us, you know, most everybody, you know, we're not rich. You know, most everybody's just. It's just, you know, the opportunities came along, and
I mean, everybody in your neighborhood doesn't drive a Lincoln Navigator.
Well, I don't know anybody in the group that's got a car that, you know, any younger than about 9 or 10 years old. Everybody's frugal, you move to the country, and opportunities seem to happen. You know, you're not going to buy land on raw land on contract in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of deals where, you know, somebody's got some property and, you know, banks, you know, usually won't finance raw land. You got to sell it yourself, so you can you move to the country and things happen at the pace that things still happen in the country. And I've seen some amazing things happen here. You know, when our TV set blew up, Well, we paid $5 for that one. It was a 20-inch TV, and it was, somebody had taken two of them down to the junkyard because they couldn't figure out how to operate the remote. I'm not kidding, Robert. There was nothing wrong with those TVs. And we had this electrical fire here in mid-December, and then, you know, the yard sales, the flea markets, I mean, everybody lives cheaply out there. Cost of living down here is 20% less than the rest of the country. If you're a smoker, it's heaven. You can, you know, you can still get, you know, cartons of cigarettes here for less than $20. I'm talking Pall Mall filters. So, even cheaper in Kentucky, you know. So it's really interesting. It's really been a real eye-opener because I was brought up in the burbs. You know, my dad worked for Donald Douglas in the 60s and became big McDonnell Douglas and Martin Marietta and Grumman and all those, you know, aerospace
right.
companies. And I was brought up in the burbs, you know, and some of the same places you were, North Shore of Long Island. You know, I was going to Northport High School when they landed on the moon.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to get out of it, you know, and when I got out of college, you know, I was still living in the burbs, you know, working for the Boy Scouts, you know, working in a, you know, the... in the city or, you know, the Inland Empire, California, or just couldn't break away from the city. And until you do, you won't. Until you decide you're going to go to a healthier place and you're just going to, well, as Confucius said, that, you know, it's a wise man that abandons his luggage three or four times during life. We just did it. We didn't let the things around us get in between us and going for our dream.
You know, it comes down to bring things back to grassroots.
Simplify our lives.
Bring things back to grassroots and realize that everything that industry is using all started grassroots.
Yeah.
It all started in a small town. I was born in a small town. It all is old John Cougar Mellencamp. It all started with me and you and Mary Lou.
A dog named Blue.
And, you know, just deciding that we could have a dream and that we could do it. And that's the remnants of freedom that we still have here. Spiritually, something is happening. Something truly exciting is happening. And there's a new perception going on. There was a new perception being born from the conglomeration of older perceptions. And, you know, this is a great place for it to happen, and I believe that this is maybe why Spirit put everybody together in this melting pot called America. I've always called America a miracle. And everybody's learning how to be different and still be who they are. And we're learning how to work together through our social and spiritual beliefs and finding commonality. And we're seeing a lot of the old dogmas being laid down because people come here and they no longer have to practice the things that they practiced when they were over in the Middle East and they had to bow down every day at a certain time and do this certain thing and walk a certain way. And women don't have to wear a veil. That's a big thing. And they can even go to school and get educated, become doctors and politicians, you know.
Yep.
So, like, you know, it's like the opportunity here, the opportunity for us as a people to grab onto this new consciousness is incredible. And getting away from the doom and the gloom, I see this every day. I see this with kids. I see kids with real bright eyes. I see kids that can talk multiple languages very easily. I see people, kids that are, you know, in the younger grades of grade school that have mathematical capabilities that are just like, wow, you know, okay, you know. I mean, so we're seeing this happen more and more. There are a lot of things out there that are being put together by people, natural elements, working with the crossing of old science and new science, and some of the new science may actually be old science, but we're seeing new products coming out to help cleanse our bodies, to help make us feel more energy, to make us healthier. There's new modalities to purify water, to create free energy. All of this stuff is all over the place. And it's coming up because we have to, you know. I mean, even up on the hill up there in Washington, they're even talking about we're going to run out of stuff. I mean, they're even talking about hydrogen cars now. They're talking about, you know, creating alternative fuel methods to take our dependency off foreign. They're finally starting to see what they beat people down with for a long time. And change doesn't happen overnight, you know. I remember that at Woodstock. we all thought that when we left the Osgood's farm it was all going to be different, and it sure the heck wasn't, okay? But it does happen if you continue, if you persist.
Are you really that guy running around naked in that movie, huh? Well, the joint.
I thought I got rid of all those. But, you know, it's now, we are making it happen. I mean, you and I are about to come out here with this, you know, we're just about ready now to come out with that health section on the web, which has many of these different new, they're not new, they're proven now, proven ways of natural achievement of better health and better living. You know, if we're going to live to 80 and 100, well, who knows if we're going to live to be 1,000? You know, we don't know. But what we know is if I'm going to live to be 80, I might as well feel good when I'm 60, you know. Why should I walk around with pain and all this other stuff if I don't have to? Why should I give half of my Social Security to meds, okay?
Yeah.
I don't need to do that, you know.
Something's going to happen that, I mean, this is really wacko. I mean, what could possibly happen? You know, it says in the Bible that the time will come when we will seek death and will not be able to find it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Think about that. They really wouldn't know what to do with how to find Social Security then, would they? No way. Boy, that would throw a monkey wrench in everything, wouldn't it?
Well, what would happen if everybody went back and started growing vitri gardens, okay?
Yep.
Started growing their own food and they had a community farm where they got their own milk, goat's milk maybe, rather than cow milk, because cows are too genetically engineered now.
We got goat's milk.
But, you know, we started doing different things like that. We started to come up with our own almond milk, our own rice milk. Hello, they still have rice in this country.
Sure.
Okay? Almonds are all over the place. They don't know what to do with the almonds in Sacramento up in that area, you know. And it's like, okay, so take the almonds, stop making almond milk, stop making it, you know. Everything that we need, the Earth Mother has always given us to replenish ourselves and to renew ourselves. She never, ever, ever said no.
Oh, yeah, we have so much rice around this area that they can't sell. We're trying to, Mississippi Delta, they're trying to, Boot Hill, Missouri, they're trying to open up markets in Cuba.
Yep.
And it's really, really interesting.
And it's relatively simple to make rice milk.
Yeah, I like it.
Imagine if everybody started doing that. What would happen to the prices of food in the supermarket?
I love those Mexican rice drinks, and that are like they're all rice. They're like rice milk.
Right, right. So and they're all different fruit flavors.
Yeah, fruit flavors or cinnamon. Oh man, that's great stuff. That's great stuff.
And this is all stuff you can produce at home.
Yep.
This is all stuff you can produce on the home farm. The other thing you can produce on the home farm is organic seeds.
Yep. Yep, and our group
seeds that when you harvest the corn, you take 10% of the corn and you got enough for 5 people to grow corn next year.
Yeah, our group of 6 families are getting ready to invest $200-$300 worth of heirloom seeds. Betty and I are going to be upgrading our, we bought, last year we had about 20 of these Rubbermaid storage bins. The Sterilite ones, the clear ones, well, most of them are cracking now. We're finding out that we needed to go back to the Rubbermaid ones. And but this year the new thing was the concept of an Earth box.
That you know why they're cracking?
Well, because of the sun.
And you know why they're cracking?
Why?
Because they make them out of genetically engineered soybean.
Oh yeah,
like, which is what they use to create the polymer. And it's just, they started creating that polymer because they were trying to find garbage bags and plastic containers that would break down over time inside the dumps.
Ah, interesting.
Okay. So now everyone went out, and there was a time you go out and you see all these soybeans, and soybeans are healthy. They were an alternative form of protein, this and that. And now people get them, and they're getting sick, and the livers are getting clogged and whatnot, because they genetically engineered them, and they crossed them with different elements, and they created more of a polymer-friendly genetic to it, so that they could make these things, and that these garbage bags break down after a year or two and out there in the dump. And then they said, well, what else are you going to do with the rest of this stuff? So they started to make those containers you're talking about, okay?
Right.
And they also started to make some of the stuff that they use on cars around the molding, the insulation, stuff around the windows. So what happens is, if you're out in the desert, all of a sudden, 2 years later, your brand new car, everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it's like, you know, so that's where it's coming from. It's like, but you don't need to rely on industry to give you artificial stuff. You can make this stuff yourself, people. It's not that hard. It just takes reading a book and a couple of things, issues of popular mechanics, and start to ask questions. Use the internet for something else besides porn.
Yeah, this year we're doing things a little bit differently. We've got some of the, I believe they're 19-gallon Rubbermaid, and the only ones that really work is Rubbermaid, because they have to have the thin lips around the edges. And anyway, I'll put a link up on the website on how to make these earth boxes, because really what they are is you cut out the recessed part of the lid, and that part, ends up down about 6 inches off the bottom, sitting on some... at the bottom of the bin on aquarium buckets, which allow water to flow through them, and then it serves as a membrane. And that lid, which was solid, now has about 81-inch holes in it. And put a 2-inch hole on one side of it. And you're going to run a 2-inch PVC pipe down in to supply water. And then after you get all that air pressed, and then you throw the earth in, you know, your potting soil or whatever. And then you take what was left of the lid, which is now just a ring, like a canning lid ring, and use black plastic. And the black plastic, you know, goes over all of them. If you've got 20 of them on your front porch, like we'll have... the black plastic will shade them and prevent the breakdown from the sun. And then you just got to make sure there's enough water and fertilizer in there, and there is an overflow, which is up about 6 inches off the ground, to make sure you don't get too much in there. That way the plants that are planted in these earth boxes are they can feed and water when they want to. And you wouldn't believe the yield that people are getting square-inch intensive gardening, you know, right on their front porch or in their house. You can bring them in the wintertime, grow herbs in the wintertime, and all kinds of neat stuff that we're messing around with. So the next big hurdle we as a group have got to get into is our greenhouses. Of course, it's going to be a pretty big, because we're talking about...
Make them like domes.
Yeah, and because there's going to be wind, and... that'll be
where he is.
Yeah, that'll be. But you got to have that special kind of UV resistant plastic.
I remember in 1997 when I used to get up and talk to people about there were going to be these 200-mile-an-hour winds and stuff. I remember when this guy's really out there. Well, we've now surpassed that.
People. Oh yeah, the
straight line tornadoes.
No ice. We had one between here and where most people in the group live. You know. Most people in group live 6 miles south of town. Well, about 5 miles south of town, they had one of those straight line tornadoes, a microburst, they call them, apparently. And just all of a sudden, boom, 200-mile-an-hour wind just comes in and blows down the pole buildings and blowing off roofs. And just, you know, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And no eye said those things were going to happen.
Yes, you did.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
No, I said that a long time ago.
She sure did. She sure did.
That was Mary Summer Rain's first endeavors in the writing.
That's right. I sure love to get her on that show. By the way, Ian, for the future, we're going to... Ian Jungold from Mayan Magics said he wants to do an interview.
Sunblock is ready to come on again.
Yeah, the fellow from Dave.
Because we're doing a second Father Sky Mother Earth down there in September.
Oh, that'd be great. And
in conjunction with what he's doing.
You can just check the lineup. Check the lineup on the website. We got quite a few guests. The show's starting to pick up steam. You know, another thing I was thinking about. You know, I think about taking this thing. You know, a year ago, you thought we might be able to get this thing, on the actual broadcast radio. But why don't we just do what a lot of people do? Put it on shortwave. You know, I mean, what would it take to do that?
Not that much.
You
just got to set up a shortwave transmitter.
Well, we've got the power. Out at our
and then it's a matter of. And it doesn't take that much to do shortwave.
Yeah, Dick Greenstone, at his right where his goat pens are, we bought the farm. They had this 150 foot tower. And, you know, and somebody have to climb up there and clean off the vines and stuff. All that, I guess, I guess it wouldn't take a whole lot just to flip a switch, you know, by 8, 9 o'clock at night, and start the recorder rolling and just let it play every night.
Yeah.
So that's something that I couldn't do in here, from my house. But if anybody out there's got a shortwave set up, they want to donate, we'd love to have it. And because we've got the tower, and there's a lot of people that are on shortwave out there. There's people that have done a lot. They did a tremendous amount. A lot of people are listening to shortwave.
We'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluehour speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
I got quite a few people from your area in Texas. Tune in when I was broadcasting off the shortwave.
And we're high here. We're 1,000 feet elevation. We're in the middle of the country. And I think we do real well here broadcasting off shortwave. Dick's place is actually at 1,300 feet because he's kind of down in a hole. And but shortwave's gifts, it would move out. I don't think the terrain would cause that much of a problem. But, I was thinking maybe that'd be the next step for us, just to
that'd be a good way to go.
On a short wave.
That'd be a good way to go. And right now, I haven't got negotiations finalized yet, but there are some people who want to offer us 2 hours cable space.
Wow.
On one of those cable networks.
Well, I'm carving up.
So people getting cable into their house or satellite can pick up on that.
Well, I'm going back over all the interviews. I'm carving up. That's what I've been doing this week, and I'll be doing the next 2 weeks. Every past interview is going to be carved up into 18 and a half or less minutes. Between 17 and a half, 18 and a half minute segments. And that way they can be played with. They'd be downloaded easier. That way, if somebody's listening to an interview, there isn't somebody else pulling on the same interview. They'll be on the, if they started the interview 15 minutes ago, they're listening to a different clip. So it's going to make it for
it's just very, very time consuming and there's some technical things that are interesting, but in the next couple of weeks we'll have it all done and we're doing what we can do to take Prophecy Keepers forward and we're
2 years ago I did a television show, and on the television show, because you know the other side of my life is I'm this crazy archaeologist, and I was showing people some of the technology that we picked up from inside these chambers or underground caves. I guess old caves are underground. But when they become a system of caves and they become a small city and there's architectural structures inside, you know, and there's all this writing on the walls and writing on plates and things, and you're going through all these things wondering, what in the world is this? Where did this come from?
Oh, anyway, you were running around with three eagles, weren't you, then, huh?
Okay. Yeah, we play once in a while. He and I play.
Yeah, yeah.
And we came up with based upon the Native American patterns that we see and are very familiar with on blankets and throughout the Southwest, and some of the Mayan glyphs, we began to realize that what we were looking at was almost like a schematic. And so we started to play with that idea, and then we moved it to, well, what if these things, what were these discs, so to speak, for? And
like the one that's out of China.
We started playing with them, and we used lodestone magnets. And we recreated the patterns, and lo and behold, we had two discs. And I couldn't bring the apparatus in, but I brought the films that we took of it in operation. And lo and behold, we had this 4 foot wheel, two wheels made out of plywood magnet, and we put it on a turnstile with a wheel with a spoke. Okay. And we followed the patterns to precise exactness that they were in the designs. And lo and behold, what we had were two discs that floated on top of each other. They never touched each other. The magnetics caused them to repel each other. And it was in a series of north-south segments of the magnets. In other words, in one segment, you had all magnets pointing north. The poles were going north. And then in the other segment you had the reverse, they were going south. It sort of looked like a maze, a labyrinth. It's kind of hard to explain in words. But if you think about the way that they had the old patterns with the little triangles and the lines and the chi design, the G force moving around, and what this thing did. But first we were amazed at the magnetics that it stood off each other, there was no friction. And then once you turned it, it started to turn perpetually of its own force. Okay? And then through the metal tungsten turnstile, it produced electricity. The same electricity as a 4 foot wheel, and it produced the exact same amount of energy as a Honda generator. Okay?
About 1500 watts.
4,000 watts.
Oh yeah, that much, really.
You can run a lot of things off it, and we're still working on trying to figure out how they made them. But everybody out there can get one of these things and put it in there, and build it in their barn for crying out loud, and you can run your whole farm off it. Okay.
Huh.
It's free energy, and it's the gift of the grandfathers. This is how they illuminated their cities. And there's a lot more to the story. We can go into it one time. I mean, like, they all had these round areas inside the big cities, and you wondered, or was it a fountain? What was it, you know? And yet there was no way, seemingly, for water to get to it, okay? So, I mean, they didn't have underground plumbing and things that brought water down to it.
Have you ever seen that? Just night before last, I was watching this History Channel UFO thing, about in China. They said about 100 years ago,
somebody in some cave found a bunch of, purportedly found some alien-looking skulls, but they also found some discs that were about an inch thick, maybe an inch and a half hole in the middle, about 9 inches. And they found a whole bunch of these things. And anyway, after they were kept hidden for a while, and then somebody from...
Well, interesting, because they
you mean the Dropper stones?
Yeah, the Dropa stones.
Dropa,
that's right.
Yeah.
And they talked about the similar shaped UFOs have been seen during. I mean, that's really interesting. And then I guess after the Cultural Revolution, right after whoever from this country went over and contacted. Anyway, the curator and the stones both disappeared from. The museum they're being kept at in Beijing. Really interesting. You start talking. And then there's a story of my friend, his name was Dell, he was a mixed blood Cherokee by the name of Badger, where back in 1959 he was out in the Utah desert. I don't even want to tell that story because he was eventually... anyway, he ran across a strange-looking woman standing out in the middle of the desert, and she turned out to be a watcher whose ship had crashed. And anyway, got involved in a scenario where he was he became caretaker of a box that had 1,000 of what we would recognize now as these mini CDs, and the apparatus. And I mean, you know, when he told me this story, there were no CDs. We're talking 15 years ago, 1990. He said you take these little shiny disc things, a little hole in them, and put a little spindle. You put a little arm on that shot a little red light down at them, and then you put this thing over your head and flip some dials, and he says it would just download all these schematics and stuff into your head. And I mean, that's a wacko story, but it's true. I met after you know, going to his place for about 2 years, went over there one day, and there was a guy sitting in the yard I hadn't met before. He introduced himself and pulled out of his pocket, he pulled out a FBI retired badge. Mm. And he says, hey, you know, what Dale's telling you here is true. He says, I was the special agent in charge here in Salt Lake, and then he was going through all that stuff because he was constantly being kidnapped by the government, and they were trying to find out what was going on with him. But this watcher named Ayelowan had programmed him that if he ever gave away the secret, his heart would stop beating. So it was a really interesting story. And it was written up years and years ago in the UFO magazine. But anyway, yeah, it was... So there's something about these discs. And the rumor is that CD technology is something that...
very old.
Yeah, something that we got from back engineered from Kraft Disc.
And with that, can we take 2 minutes here?
Take all the time you want.
Give me 2 minutes.
No. I've got to go pee pee myself.
Pee pee break.
We can go for another hour.
Okay.
I have come across many different types of discs like that that have information that can be, and they're made out of very thin metal, gold, silver, copper. It requires labs that I don't have at my access to probably really explore them. But this one series, he found out about these generators that move. They power themselves. They're self-powered, and they create electrical energy. And this answered a lot of questions to me when I used to go inside some of these old temples and pyramids and things, in these old caves, and there was never any sign or indication of soot or anything else on the ceilings, okay? You know, when you burn things, you get, it's like, you know, if you burn a candle, you get that black smoke that comes up the top.
Sure.
And if you leave it in the same place in the room for a while, you're going to get a black spot on the ceiling, okay? Well, there was never any indication of that, so I figured out how they, at least part of the process of how they illuminated, or at least powered what it was that illuminated these underground chambers. Anyway, people went quite wild. There's a couple of people who've been working with it now and want to come up with some ideas. I always wanted to make a small one and walk into Bill Gates' office and say, I got something new from Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, do you think...
You put this little pack, this little CD player in your room and you can power your own computer.
Yeah, I wonder if they figure out how to do it wirelessly.
Oh, well, with the technology we have today, I don't think that would be that hard, you know. Just experimenting, you know. One of the projects that we're working on right now, which I told you a little about, it's a little complex. It's about, I'm about to go into some biohazardous cleanup project. And we found the technology to go into old mines and reprocess their tailings, take out all of the toxicity, separate it. A lot of that stuff can be sold back to the industry. And the soil that comes out of it by recycling strange things like egg cartons, newspapers, all the stuff that they dump in the city dump, we've created a type of soil that totally is fertile, black, humus, so that you can now take these tailings, mix it with these tailings, and these tailings now become food for tired soil, tired farms.
You know, that's exactly what Bishop Coyle prophesied would have. You haven't been reading the Dream Mind story, have you?
No.
Well, this is interesting because he says that the biggest, the Dream Mind is the biggest social movement of the Mormon Church in Utah, other than the church itself, because was a bishop that was shown a certain mine that was a repository for some of the treasures that were brought up, because we know they got at least as far north as Canaan, and after that they kind of disappeared. And anyway, this old
who got as far north as Canaan?
Well, yeah, the
who?
Spanish Fort.
Brigham Young? Brigham Young?
No,
who got as far north as Canaan?
Moctezuma's treasure.
Oh, okay. You're talking about like the Aztecs. Okay.
Right, and the location on the old Spanish maps, the location, you know, between Water Canyon and the Spanish Fork River is called the Lost Utah Mine. And, you know, back in the 1800s, there were some Mormon cowboys that were fighting some Indians, and they ended up, you know, running up Water Canyon and almost fell into this cave, and, you know, one of them walked out with a rock, you know, as big as your fist, with more gold in it than it had anything else. But anyway, if you're familiar with Mormon lore, you know, there's the three disciples from the Western Hemisphere that chose to tarry until Jesus returned. And these guys are around, and they showed Bishop Coyle, you know, what was inside this mountain, which was records and treasures and so forth and so on. But he said the biggest byproduct would be the soil rejuvenator that would be a byproduct of the the tailings of the mine. He says it would be worth more than the gold. And so now you're telling me that...
Well, the hardest part was for us to get scientists to sit down and actually look at what we did, okay? It's like they look at us and their eyes get big and they roll it back, you know. And then it was a matter of, okay, so now you got a program like this, and you really can't do this with $100, you know.
Yeah.
But how do you get government subsidy or grants to make it worthwhile to do this on a larger level so that you can show that you can do an entire area? I mean, and I guess, you know, we're going through such depletion of the soil and overproduction and chemical farming and all this stuff now that we are at a very desperate place, okay? And now they're starting to listen. And mining, of course, that's like, you know, the one of the three oldest professions in the earth.
Yeah.
And especially over the last 150 years, it was all this massive amount of, you know, huge volume. It was, you know, 50 zillion tons of gold and dig a tunnel and a hole 5 miles deep, you know.
Yep.
And we'll just put a lot of mercury and a lot of, you know, cyanide on it, and it'll work.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of WiseFoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfast and 10 delicious dinner entrees from WiseFoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from WiseFoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why.
And as a result, we now have vast areas that are dead, that the trees don't grow, the plants don't grow, there's no animals, there's no microbe life in the soil. It's all so heavily toxic that you can't do anything with it. And the other thing is, we can no longer produce the volume of food that we used to, and it's not healthy because we totally screwed up the environmental balance. So you're getting all this food, and the only thing you can grow in it is genetically engineered food because it doesn't know how to assimilate the elements properly. And, you know, well, we're on the down line of the food chain, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, you grow wheat, you grow flour, who eats it? You know, us. So, you know, now we're growing up and we don't have the abilities. A lot of people are sick, they're cancerous, they have all these mental problems, immune systems, mental deficiencies, and enormous, what people don't realize is the enormous amount of birth defects. I mean, it's astronomical, right, that are occurring now because of all these supplements and chemicals, never mind the drugs and the other stuff that everybody's taking. But there's an enormous amount of that. And the thing was that we finally got some ears to listen to it. And we're actually in the process right now where we're having several locations checked out to see that they hold the elements that we know. And all of this stuff, all of this information came from either the ancient text of the Bible, the ancient Sumerian text, or the ancient Mayan text. This is where we got this information. I mean, it's been right there in front of us. Okay.
Oh, wait, we got an invitation out to Zechariah Sitchin to come on the show.
Yeah, we could do that. That's a funny guy. Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't.
We do that. I'd like you to interview him. He's one of those scary guys, you know.
One of those scary guys. He's just an old stodgy guy.
Well, I
made the mistake once of talking to somebody who was referring to the pyramids as a tomb. And I said, well, you have to understand the nature of these tombs. And Zachariah flew off. They're not tombs! And I said, I'm sorry, Zach, I made a mistake.
I mean, when I picture him, I can see these. He's got, you know, 1 pound eyebrow on that ear.
Yeah.
How does he keep his eyes open? I'm going, oh my gosh. You know.
Another guy you might like to have on sometime is Lawrence Clark.
Yeah.
I talk to Lawrence all the time, so I can talk to him.
How about his friend, the Prince?
The who?
The Prince.
Charlie?
Well, no, the other one.
Okay.
It is for
I can get Margaret on before I can get Charles.
Now, talk about the, up in Scotland, Sir Lawrence's friend, though. Oh, maybe you don't know who I'm talking about. I can't remember who he is.
Not right now.
He's the one that I guess he claims that, it was his family that.
Oh, the direct lineage to the
yeah.
the Magdalene? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his. I think it's. Having a senior moment, but yeah, he's a friend of. There's a link.
Churches came out and told us that was all blasphemy.
Yeah, the there's a link from Sir Lawrence's website. He'd be a hoot to get on that. But I'll tell you what, I'm really going to start looking at the shortwave thing because there's got to be a cheap way to do this. And, shortwave is not that expensive.
It's just not everybody's got a shortwave receiver.
Yeah, but there's thousands. I mean, look at all.
But you can get them used at the, Army surplus stores.
Shortwave receivers, the Beijing.
Like $20.
Yeah, Beijing, they receive shortwave.
Yep, all Beijing's receive that.
And there's a lot of people that have shortwave. And there's, thousands and thousands of people in the Patriot movement. Anybody that's getting the word out about 9/11 or anything that's kind of underground, they're all on shortwave.
You know those wing nuts?
Well, they're talking seriously about Puerto Rico coming into the
twisters,
as a state.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, well, there's definitely strange things going on. There's a lot of policies.
Sure they can.
But in between, like we're discussing just in a very brief little snippet here, there's all these incredible things
that
are really
territory.
Going on. So to me, there's a lot of excitement going on, The Greeks were the ones who always, wanted to perpetuate chaos.
Yeah, they do.
Through chaos, you had creativity. And, unless people get sick, they're not going to do anything to make themselves well. And if all they got to do is, walk down to the local Walmart, see the little local RN that's down there and say, I have this, and she says, we'll take this, which happens in a lot of places now. Do you know that?
Sure.
You go into Walmart, and then there's an RN who gives you a prescription.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I go, wow, okay. don't you do, prognosis?
Look, yeah.
At least take a blood test or a neurology test or something to tell me what's going on with you.
Puerto Rico.
The RM? Or
of other U.S. territories
PCs.
Differ from those of U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
Residents of Puerto Rico do not have voting
representatives. There are incredible things
U.S.
going on.
Congress.
I know that you...
And are not entitled to
patches.
Electoral votes for president.
Yeah, live wave energy patches.
I've heard remarkable things about them. As a matter of fact, they just sent me some. And somebody in the company said, here, you got to try this. So here's 60 days. So I said, okay. Because I guess I got that reputation that I come from Missouri.
Well, I'll tell you what, when Betty put them on.
If it all works, you better show me.
I mean, if she's 60 and she couldn't do what the 80-year-old gals were doing down at the Y, day one. Day two, she walks in with You know, and after doing the exercises, she can only walk on the treadmill for 3 minutes. Then she goes in the next day, keeps up with the 80-year-old gals doing the exercises, and then goes and does 10 minutes in a breeze and on the treadmill, and she was in a hurry and had to leave. But then she didn't realize until after she left just how well she did. She came and said, "Wow, you know." And of course, I'm in the George Hopkins. Is in my upline. Catherine Nichol, who's a wonderful gal out in California, and she's real active with the Western Shoshone, and she's the one that introduced me to George. And it's amazing technology. It's just organic material that sits in a pouch on your skin. It's not transdermal. The way they explain it is it's kind of like body software. It gives commands to your pituitary gland, which is your master gland. You know, you wear them on your left and right shoulder. You know, white patch on the right and brown on the left. And you wear them for 4 days on, 3 days off. And they came into the fore back during the Olympics when the Olympic swim team was all wearing them one day, and there was this big flurry. Well, what's going on here? Is this a drug? And so forth and so on. But right after that. Well, I understand 80% of all the LPGA golfers are using them. There's there's one football team, you know, I believe in North Carolina, that will not practice without them. So
wow.
There was some really interesting stuff. If you go to on my website, I've got a little box that lists everybody that's been on the show in the last year, and at the bottom it says, you know,
roll in that little box, huh?
Yeah, brought to you by LifeWave.
That box must be crowded, Otter.
And if you click on LifeWave, I'll have to get a link on the.
Am I next to Red Elk?
Yeah, oh yeah. And if you click on
how's Red Elk doing? Good.
He's doing pretty good. Anyway, I've got you can listen to a half hour show about LifeWave. I'll get a link up to that.
Well, it's worth people looking at.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
The other thing that I got to get you to start making some people aware of is this product called Shigoi. And Shigoi is an old native term, and what it is chaparral.
Oh yeah.
Well, now they come up with a process. But the problem with chaparral is if you didn't take it exactly right, there was a toxicity issue involved. And they have now found a process by which they naturally develop it and cure it. And it gets rid of all the toxicity. We've seen remarkable, absolutely remarkable results with this, with people who have diabetes, with people who have HIV. It just gets rid of all that stuff, and also arthritis and joint pains.
Well, back when a fellow by the name of he wrote a book called Own Your Own Body. And I'll remember his name here in a minute. Stan Malmstrom, M-A-H-L-S-T-R-O-M, naturopath out of central Utah. And Stan had a little decoction that you could cook up called C-A-C-T or CAC tea. And when I went through this cleanse, and what it is equal portions of red chlorine. I think, as I recall, is a half cup each of red clover, alfalfa, and chaparral. And you pour on a quart of water, boil very slowly for 20 minutes. Then you pour off the water. Then you pour another quart of water on and so forth. Boil very slowly for 20 minutes. You repeat this four times. And then you put it all in a milk jug. Add enough water to equal a gallon again because you get some that's going to boil off. Put it in the fridge and drink. I think it's either a quarter cup or half cup a day until it's all gone, which is usually 2 weeks. And 2 weeks after I did that 15 years ago, and the person that taught me about this was Robert Three Eagles, the entire outer, I guess it's the epidermis,
right.
My skin turned to powder and sloughed off. Including the little, I have a couple spots above my right nipple that I'd had a skin cancer there for years and years and years. It totally disappeared. well, cancer's starting to come back there a little bit. It's not as bad as it was, but I figured, hey, it's time for another, you know, CACT cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have, you know, one of those $15 home coffee processors that you can get.
Made out of steel, not aluminum.
Yeah, you know, you can get it from the high speed blades. You can get them from Walmart, and you just process the chaparral so it's a fine powder. Actually, if you do decoction, you don't even need to do that because the rest of the herbs, red clover. Now.
Oh, see, these people can do the shigori now, and they don't have to fear for the toxins.
Yeah. With red clover and alfalfa, you don't have to worry at all.
Now, when you say red clover, you're talking about sweet clover.
Yep, red clover. Red clover and alfalfa.
The old term used to be sweet clover because you could smell it. It smelled almost like sweet grass.
Oh, yeah, and it's you know, here in another 2-3 weeks, it's going to be all over our yards here. I was trying to buy some last 2 weeks ago, and I thought, well, they were out of it. I figured, well, shoot, you know, by the end of March, you know, the lawn here is going to be covered with them. So I figured.
So what is in this concoction?
Red clover, equal
red clover,
equal parts of red clover. We're talking about a half a cup each. Red clover, alfalfa, which is like those are the two kings of the herbs anyway, and chaparral. And so you got three blood purifiers.
Uh-huh.
And you decoct them or slowly boil them in a quarter. You keep the herbs. You just keep decocting them with a quart of each time of pure water until you do that four times. And then you throw the herbs away, you know, add enough water to make a gallon. Chill it overnight and, you know, drink half a cup a day. I think it's twice a day you drink half a cup a day. And it tastes really nice. It tastes sweet, you know, because of the clover.
And the alfalfa. Alpha. Oh.
Yeah, and they say that if you don't like the taste, you don't need it. And but I haven't met anybody that didn't need it. I know Three Eagle's son, he was looking pretty pale. They kind of wondered whether he had leukemia that was, I mean, the kid was just white as a sheet, and he's probably 18 or 19 now, but he was looking pretty sick. They put him through that, and that's back before Cyrus was born, you know. But this is the older one; that's about 19 years old now, I guess.
So this is essentially a blood purifier.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. And
yeah, which gets rid of 90% of the toxicity.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, when your entire dermis turns to powder and sloughs off, it really gets your attention.
Yeah, so there are wonderful things happening, aren't there?
Oh man, I mean, you know,
and I think that it's just a matter of people getting into it, and I think we have to really start to focus on getting that site up there with all these incredible things that we've seen prove themselves.
I mean,
that are proven already.
$6, you know, to do them, and that's enough for that. Actually, a gallon's enough for two people for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's a quarter cup twice a day till it's gone. Two people for 2 weeks, as I recall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the I couldn't find the recipe on the net, but I'll go find. I know somebody that's got on your own body. I'll have to get it up there. And the other thing we like to do in the wintertime is equal portions of cayenne, garlic, golden seal, and echinacea, and you just encapsulate that. You know, the big triple zero. You go to the health food store, buy yourself a little encapsulator for $15 and buy $2 or $3 worth of capsules and make equal portions of it. And you take that, I can't remember the frequency, but you take it for, you know, a week at a time and you lay off for a week or two, and it's a fantastic immune booster. It'll keep you from getting sick in the wintertime. But that's...
You know, we're going to have to do a show sometime because I'm finding a need to do this.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
There was an article in the Oakland Times the other day, a few weeks ago. And some minister of the Christian faith, one of the departments, sects, refused to have a Native man perform a sacred pipe ceremony.
And it was a Lakota Baptist church.
It was a Baptist church in Oakland that started up, I guess, back in the 50s or 60s, because the white Baptists wouldn't let the Indians come to their church.
Yeah, well,
they wouldn't let them do their own ceremony.
Anybody go to my site, robertgoswolf.com, and there's a section up there called Golden Braid. What the Golden Braid is about, it's about the Native American perception of the Christ. And simply put, I'm an ordained Christian minister, and I do sweat lodges, and I smoke sacred pipe, and I've done ceremonies at elders all over the world. And I have a lot of compassion and pity for someone with that small mind.
Mm.
He does not understand that our ways cross. They've always crossed. They've crossed for thousands of years.
You're the captain.
So one day it would be good to get a show to bridge both factions together again. You know, to just talk about it. Because the only thing that mankind has to fear is ignorance. And the only blasphemy in the world is the embracing of ignorance. Because once we can move beyond those walls, we get to understand the bigger picture of what it was really all about.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And then we'll see a healing, you know. And this is part of what I am going to bring to people up at the Father Sky Mother Earth in Montana on the summer solstice.
Well, on my website now, on the left-hand side of all pages, there's a link for Native American. It says, Who Are We? And there's three links. One of them is Native American Religious Freedom. And describes, you know, what was illegal, what up until 1979, I guess it was, you weren't allowed to legally do a sweat lodge ceremony, much less a sun dance, you know, even though there were those that did, like Ed McGaugh, who's been a guest twice, but you know, there are a lot of people out there who are Native Americans, mixed blood Native Americans, and you don't have to have a card with any tribe to exercise Native American religious freedom. All you got to do is make an ID card in camera, which just means in private, thanks to Senator Dan Inouye. It's the most liberal act of Congress that's ever come down the pike. They can do lots of interesting things with that card, including wildcraft herbs on federal property. You just got to let the authorities know. So here's my Native American religious freedom. We did it over here at Ozark Waterways. Just walked in and introduced myself. I'm so-and-so. Here's my Native American religious freedom card, ID card, that identifies myself as a Native religious practitioner. And showed them a copy of the U.S. code. They said, okay, no problem.
Yep, the doors are opening.
Yep.
So we just got to keep walking the peaceful path and keep the things moving. It's been a long time coming.
Now, they're getting hassled down at Manitaka by the new superintendent, and because Hot Springs, you know, some of the people say, well, the Indians never went in there. Well, it's not that they never went in there. It's just that they didn't go in there to stay, and they didn't leave their trash there. There's still resistance to ceremony, and they've been hassling those people down there for a while.
It's a lot easier now than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, well, they would rather them not be doing things, and they're always buzzing around with their lights on when they were standing bears trying to do ceremony. It's just generally been making life kind of miserable for them. But things are... The other, you know, in prisons, you know, Native American prisoners do have rights, but the way the law is written, you know, it leaves it up to the warden as to whether or not that person's, the way the law is written, says, well, it has to be sincere, you know. Well, you know, you know, read my mind, you know. So the way the laws are written, there's some weaknesses in them. There's some ambiguity, but Native American Religious Freedom Act was a big step in the right direction. And, you know, I guess with the decision in Utah over peyote, I mean, the last place in the world I ever figured that the state Supreme Court would uphold the use of peyote for...
religious ceremonies.
Yeah, you know, but for non-Indians.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess they figured, the equal protection, you know, they get in trouble over equal protection, so... We haven't heard the end of Supreme Court decisions over peyote yet.
Well, I'm not going to get into a political thing, but I will say this. The Mete people, the mixed blood people, are the largest tribe in the world.
That's right.
And it always has been that way here.
That's right.
It has been that way since the farther back we go in history, the farther back I go back in archaeology, the more I see the crossing of the cultures.
Cherokee have always been... four colored. We've always had the red hair.
They wear those funny hats.
Yeah, wear their turbans.
Turbans, yeah.
The only place we could have gotten those from, really, they figure that we probably got those from Turkish sailors, because if you look at the way a Cherokee was dressing and say 1720, they dressed exactly like the Turkish sailors or Zouaves were dressing. If you go in the Turkish Naval Museum, you know, with the little vests and the embroidery and the fluffy pants and the turban. And
well, out here you had a lot of Basque people.
Yeah, you know, the Melungeons.
Yeah, they wore turbans.
So-called Melungeons were. They were Turkish and sailors. Some of them were dubbed off, you know, by Sir Francis Drake. That's pretty early. So, yeah, the Basques, yeah.
Well, they were sheep herders, no men.
Yeah, that's right.
And goats and sheep. And there's even been bones found, very old bones of very old, large dogs. And what I think those dogs were Great Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Because they came from that part of the world.
Yeah, they sure did.
And, you know, they're all over the Southwest, going all the way up into northern Utah, southern Montana. They're all over Arizona, New Mexico. There's about four or five old Basque settlements right here, and it's amazing how they built them. They're very Celtic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the way they were built. The architecture and everything, and they were usually either built like berm or subterranean berm houses or earth houses, okay? Stone and wood and clay. But man, they go all the way back to before the Spanish were here, you know?
Yeah, oh, they've got new settlements all over the country, southern Oregon and Utah. They're all over the place. Any place there are sheep. And the Great Pyrenees dogs, I mean, that's the gold standard. If you run sheep, man, well, there are a lot of Great Pyrenees around here, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Ozarks. Those are good dogs. Dick Greenstone.
One of the oldest breeds in the world.
Yeah, Dick Greenstone had one for years and years and years. Pico, she finally died. She was the funniest dog. She every night around sundown, she never said a peep. You know, even when people came around that were like intruders. But every night around sundown, she'd walk around the farm. She'd go, "Who? Who? Who?" You know. And their job was over for the 24 hours. She chased away all the deer and all the bad people, and she'd go lay down again. You know. But
yep.
I'll tell you what, they're good dogs for if you're running sheep or any kind of stock, I guess.
They're good. They're intelligent. They're gentle.
Very.
They're loyal. They're very human orientated.
Slobber all over you.
And yeah, they slobber all over. Sometimes they have the non-drill type, you know, like Saint Bernard.
Non-drill
type. But you know, they're just an old mountain dog. That's what it is.
You talking about the big white ones?
The big white ones.
Yeah.
The big white ones with those big teddy bear eyes.
They look like them. They look like sheep. Dogs.
Yeah, well, their main deal was to be able to stay off bears. Because you used to have a lot of bears in this country once.
Yeah, and wolves and coyotes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're something else. Another good dog breed is Border Collie. I've seen Border Collie run full speed, 30 miles an hour, but in a crouch, run up to a coyote and clip its jugular vein and just trot away while the coyote's dying. I've seen that. Here in the Ozarks.
Yeah, they're pretty quick. I got one of those.
Smart. Oh, yeah?
I have a border collie.
They're smartest dog. Number one smartest
dog. And they're always herding. They're always herding everything.
Always herding something. After that, so a standard poodle is supposed to be the second smartest.
Yeah, dog. I saw that once. I had a guy over in the northern portion of Oregon over there, and northeast portion of Oregon, and he had cattle. He had about, I don't know, 6,000 acres, and he had cattle.
Was he running?
And he let these standard poodles out. And, man, they were incredible. They're incredible.
Huh. Well, they're working dogs.
Huh?
They're a working breed.
Yeah,
although, I can know
the standard
is a species. Yeah, the miniature is a non-working breed, but standard poodle is a smart dog, a water dog.
They're the yuppies of the poodle breed, I guess.
Yeah, they're bred for water. Also, they were used for hunting, and they're not the jittery, neurotic, you know, dogs the miniature poodle is. It's almost as bad about biting you as a chihuahua is, you know. And folks out there, you know, this is the kind of stuff that back to the Landers talk about when they get together, the best dog breed, you know, where's the cheapest place to get kerosene this week or month? Oh, gee, I run out of wicks, and, you know, I got to put in my year supply, and, you know, it's the kind of stuff, you know, you stuff into your head when you're talking about being any kind of self-sufficiency, stuff you got to learn. And you learn you got to get the Lehman's catalog and Homesteader's Warehouse and all that kind of stuff, you know.
So I've been getting a lot of letters lately, and part of what I was saying before, next time we get together, let's talk about Pale Prophet.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because there's a lot of people who are really wanting to understand the story.
Yeah, that's a big, big story. It is.
Well, it's an incredible story. There's no end to that story.
It is. Of course, you know.
It's a wonderful story, because it's real.
Well, you know, all you got to do is read your Bible. Jesus told them, I guess, at Gethsemane, he said, hey, you know, they rejected us here, and he told them, you know, go not to the Gentiles or to the house of Israel. He says, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you got all these stories. You know, we've got a link to He Walked the Americas all the way down the bottom of any of our pages on the left-hand side. It says He Walked the Americas. You can the book is online. You can read that. It tells the story of the Pale Prophet and with his 100 different names. And all the stories published. Lord Kingsborough bankrupted themselves in the 1720s, running down the story. And then a woman back in the 40s, 50s researched.
Well, it's amazing how much money they spend on lies and how little money they spend to support truth.
Yeah, it is amazing.
You know, so most of the people do this kind of work. They're doing it on their own. They're self-financed, and And, you know, the world needs to know that their work is appreciated. And they need to know.
Yeah, they sure do.
You know, because it takes a lot of digging, so to speak, to get to the bottom of what really might have happened. You know, and we're getting farther than we've ever been.
Hey, maybe we sent our shows out to old Art Bell. Maybe he'd broadcast them for us out of his.
I think Art Bell took the turn in the road there, but.
I don't know.
The rest of us are still out here.
I think he's just tired of the BS being attacked. Who knows?
Well, yeah. I'm. Art's my friend. I just think he did it too long and lost his soul.
Yeah, you can get cynical, you know.
I mean, soul as in you got soul, baby. You know, I mean, he lost his soul behind it. He lost the fire behind it. You know, he stopped becoming a believer in himself.
Yeah, could be.
And that happens. It's a long road. It's a long road up that mountain. You know, and you know, as we sort of bring tonight to a close, all I can really say to people is the most important thing you can do now is be forgiving, especially to yourself. Be compassionate, especially to yourself. And remember that whatever you put in your own temple is what you'll manifest around you. So, you know, how do we get through the changes? Be very allowing. Know who you are. If you don't know who you are, take the time to find out. It's worth it. And listen to your kids. They might have a couple of things that might surprise you to say. Kids are extremely intuitive. They haven't learned how to double talk yet.
Uh-huh.
Beyond that, there's a lot of bad stuff happening. No matter where you go, you're going to see it. But you know, there's a lot of miracles happening. So maybe it's time we just start opening our eyes to the little things again. And see all the incredible things we're doing, you know. Unfortunately, they don't have a newspaper called Good News Times, you know. Because you look at the media, everything. They tell the same negative story 28 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like you know more about what's going on in the people inside than it's going on with.
About the good stuff. There's the cell papers.
But, you know, it's happening. You just have to want it.
Yeah. Our guest last week, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Jonathan Zapp, but he was an English teacher in the Bronx. And he says, hey, so if you haven't been in the city in 20 years, he says, you wouldn't recognize it. He says, you got inner city kids that are actually getting up and offering old people a seat to sit down on the subway. Did you ever dream you'd hear of that, Robert?
Not for a long time.
Uh-uh. And he says things have really changed, and figure out how that happened. Well, on that note, I guess we'll thank you for being our guest.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
See you.
Did we do it?
That's it. Hey, sure appreciate you guys.
Okay.
I'll catch you later.
Well, get a good night's sleep.
You betcha. Bye-bye. Huh?
Love each other. Don't fight. Bye.
That's right. Bye-bye.
This is Jasa Sagonie, a seventh-grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing
else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Over. that the truth?